Greetings. Thank you. Tonight we're going to be looking in Matthew chapter 23, Matthew 23 in verse 37, 38 and 39. This chapter comes after chapter 23, of course, and in chapter 23 you have the Lord Jesus has got to the end of his ministry to the Jews. They just would not believe, they would not hear, would not receive his message. And he pronounced eight woes upon them, if you read chapter 23. In chapter 24, you have that the Lord went out, the disciples went out and said, "Oh, look, Lord, at the wonderful temple that we built, Herod's temple." And the Lord wasn't interested in the building. He said, "This is all going to fall down. It's going." And the disciples then asked two questions. In verse 3, privately they said, "Tell us when these things shall be and what shall be the sign of thy coming." Then the Lord went and proceeded to answer the second question first in the rest of chapter 24, and the other questions answered in Luke's gospel. But we have this little bit in the middle here where the Lord Jesus is thinking of all that's going to come upon this people for what they've done in rejecting him as their Messiah. And we read in verse 37, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them who sent unto thee, how often would have I gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathered her chicken under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left to you desolate. I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth till ye say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word that we can be guided by in this wicked world. Thank you, Lord, that you've told us of things past, of things in the present and future. And Lord, we can put complete confidence in your blessed, holy word. And may it go forward to our hearts tonight and do its work for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jerusalem. Who's been to Jerusalem? No one's been to Jerusalem. We'll have to buy a hair ticket. Okay, but I wanted to see the old one. But we were compelled to go there by our missionary over there. Andrew said, "You're the pastor, you've got to come to the field." And we would say, "Oh, no, Israel, you know, bombs, guns, everything." Folks, there was a girl hitchhiking at 10 o'clock at night on the highway in the dark. And I said to Andrew, "What's she doing there?" And he said, "Oh, it's okay. It's safe. Yeah, I mean, you walk around the supermarket and everyone's got a machine gun." Oh, no, everyone. But most people have got a machine gun on their shoulder, fold their thing back and got a gun in their pocket. And you felt very secure. I didn't feel threatened at all. Only time I felt threatened when we come to the Jordan crossing where they come in from Jordan and I was driving a car. Andrew was asleep in the back seat and they pulled us up. There's a big, you know, stop here. And up front, there's a concrete thing like that and a gun pointing at you. And the fella said real gruffly, "Where you from? Where you been?" This is the army fella. I said, "Well, you know, we've been to Arad. We stayed at Arad and we've been down at the Dead Sea. We're coming up." And I said, "He's a local." Pointing to Andrew in the back seat. And the fella said, "What didn't you tell me?" And Andrew jokingly said, "Just seeing if you did it right." And the fella burst out laughing and said, "Get on your way." Go through the West Bank then. At 100 kilometres an hour and don't stop. But Israel, what a place to visit. And tonight we visit Israel. We visit a place. Where in the world is God most interested in? What country? Israel. What town in Israel is God most interested in? Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem. What place in Jerusalem is God most interested in? The Temple Mount, the Holy of Holies, where it used to be. That's where God has placed his interest. Now, if I chose to live in Israel or Australia, I would go, well, I'd live up here. It's very similar to where I was raised at Jembrook, Emerald Cockatoo. Same coloured soil, same growth. They don't grow cane, they grow spuds, carrots, strawberries, all that down there. But I wouldn't live in Israel for the environment's sake. It was the end of like February in Albury, hot, dry, 40 degrees and smoky. B- But God has placed his interest there. That's the central place. That's where his people were planted. The city of Jerusalem, the city of the Jebusites, which David captured after he became king at 30 years old. He was in Hebron as king for 7.5 years. Then he moved to Jerusalem for 33 years. He was king from and reigning from Jerusalem. Why is Jerusalem such an issue? God puts it this way. I have chosen Jerusalem to put my name there. 2 Chronicles 6:6. Jerusalem is his city. He calls it the city that he has chosen of all the cities of the world. Jesus himself expressed his interest in Jerusalem in the passage we look at right here. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem. The one who killed the prophets and stoned them that were sent unto them. The world leaders today want to divide Jerusalem for political reasons. You hear about Israel, only 7 million people, but Israel is always on the news almost every day. In Australia, 14,000, 13,000 kilometres away. It's in the news. Why are the nations? God has intended it and made it to be so. Jerusalem shall be called the throne of the Lord, and all the nations shall be gathered to it one day in the millennium. The enemies of Israel want to divide the city into East and West Jerusalem. They conspire to take East Jerusalem from Israel and give it to the Palestinians. But East Jerusalem is Jerusalem. If you cut a line down the middle, it is Jerusalem. It contains the city of David. We visited there. The Temple Mount. East Jerusalem, that's East Jerusalem. The Mount of Olives. You read your Bible, you read the Gospels. Mount of Olives. The place where Jesus was crucified, East Jerusalem. It's the place where King David, King Solomon, and Jesus walked, East Jerusalem. The city, the nations want to divide it. Let me share a story of what happened some years ago. Andrew, missionary in Israel, I rung him one night about 2 or 3 in the morning. It was during the day over there, 9 hours behind us, because an offering had come in anonymously of $10,000 for Andrew in Israel. And I thought, I better tell him. I better ring him. So I rung him up and I told him, and Andrew's not usually quiet. And it was just, you there? You there? Yeah. He said, I'd prayed a month ago, if the Lord opened the door and the money was provided, that I'll go to America to United Nations. And tonight is the deadline. I'm glad I phoned him. And if it come in by then, we'll go. And so he went. His wife's from America, so he went over there and made a visit. But he wanted to go to United Nations. Him and his father-in-law got two of those flag sort of things you lift up and pin up. You know how they, and there's a sign on it. They got one each, and they set themselves each side of the United Nations security office, where the delegates go in, the main door, hurled up their flag, put it on there, and handed out tracts to all the delegates of all the nations. They didn't ask permission. They never asked permission. They just did. And on the sign it had, there is a God on the throne in heaven, and Israel is his land. Don't divide it. And they're all walking in. The Jewish people come in and say, what's this? Thank you. Thank you. Where are you from? And one spoke Australian and one spoke American, a different dialect. And they were moved on after a little bit, but they went to the next door. But that wasn't all. This is about Jerusalem. Don't divide it. When he got back home to Israel, he said, I'm going to write to you about a week later. I'm going to write to the New York Times and say, two pastors protest about the dividing of the nation, and gave the gospel a full page. He sent it to the New York Times. And you know what happened? It was translated into 70 languages and sent round all the world at nothing, no cost to Andrew. You see, $10,000 turned to be probably half a cent each for everyone that read. High people in high places. God worked. God is interested in Jerusalem. He's put his name there. Well, we'll move into the message. You know, that was the introduction to, what did you say? Long. I don't want to know what it means. I couldn't hear back there. What? Look at it, verse 37. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem. What weeping. Christ knew what lay ahead for this city of Jerusalem. He knew that in 35 years from when he said this, 1.2 million Jews would be killed by Titus when the Romans came down. Starved to death, eat their own children. Things had happened there. He knew that. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. What weeping from the heart of the Lord Jesus. 97,000 would be taken captive. That's what Josephus said. God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. God's strange work is judgment. He does not want to judge, Isaiah 28:21. Over in the book of Ezekiel, chapter... This is a small pulpit. Gosh. I preached in one at a funeral the other day. It was a stump. And it had oodles of room to spread your notes, but I didn't need it at that time. I had little. Tonight, I'm trying to get through this. Let's get back to the book. Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 30, the middle of it, and down and following there. Repent and turn yourselves from all your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin, said the Lord to them. Cast away from you your transgressions by which ye have transgressed, and make yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord. Wherefore turn ye yourselves and live. God has no interest in letting people die in their sins. God wants them to be saved, and he weeps over them. Today, he weeps over the nations of the world. He weeps over the cities of the world. I asked a question the other day at church, how many people are saved? How many people do you think are saved in the world? And an Egyptian fellow coming to church said, probably only 1%. You start working that out. How many are going to hell? And the Lord looks down from heaven as he looked down and spoke of Jerusalem. O world, O cities, O people, hear me, because hell is forever and heaven is forever too for those that go there, that have chosen the Lord Jesus. God is not willing that what? Any should perish. What weeping, what wickedness we see secondly, that thou killest and stonest the prophets that are sent unto you. I had my bookmark, it's gone, there it is. Thou killest the prophets and stonest them who are sent unto thee. What wickedness that God would send these people to preach the word of God for people to repent and get saved. But they killed them, they stoned them. Recall the parable of the vineyard in Matthew 21, where the farmer set up the vineyard, set it all work when I put a fence around it and planted everything, and he went away into a far country for a while. And then he sent someone to collect the rent, and they treated them shamefully. They beat them up. He sent more, and they did the same. Then he said, I'll send my son. Surely they'll reverence my son. And what did they do? They took the son and killed the son. What wickedness. That is a picture of Israel. And isn't that a picture of all who reject the message of salvation? What wickedness to rebel against the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. What more could have been done than what I have done? The Lord said in Isaiah 5 and verse 3, O, and now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem, and men of Judea, judge, I pray you, betwixt me and my vineyard. What could have been done more to my vineyard than what I have done? Wherefore, when I looked for it to bring forth grapes, it brought forth wild grapes. What wickedness. Are you here today and saying no to God when he has done everything that he could for your salvation? He doesn't come and compel you to get saved. You're not Calvinistic, in other words. You have a choice in the matter. You have a will to choose. The Jews had a will to choose, and what wickedness they displayed in rejecting the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, the very Son of God. Notice what warmth comes next. How often would have I gathered you together? How often? He came unto his own, and his own received him not. He said in Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. In Romans 10:21, but unto Israel he saith, all day long have I stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. That is the Lord, and he's still doing it today from heaven to the nations of the world. Come unto me. Why will you perish? Why will you die in your sins? If you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, you have no excuse when you die. You've sat in messages, and if you're children in the church, and I am very saddened to see so many children that come to church get to the age of where they can do their own thing, they get a license and they go out and they take off. I said to a men's camp once, who were all fathers, and I said, look, we've been having these camps here for 40 years. Where are all our children? The churches should be boasting at the steams. There should be churches all over Australia. Where are the children going? Lost, going to hell. They've chosen to reject the message. But what warmth that God keeps saying, how often would I have gathered you together? For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be what? Saved. God is not willing that they should perish. You could look at 1 John, we won't, 4 and verses 9 to 11. Romans 5, God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So what warmth is displayed from the Lord, and what wisdom we see fourthly here. As a hen gathers her chickens from immediate danger, we read in Hebrews 11:32 and through to 40, of those who beckoned to Israel to come under the safety of his wings. What did they do to those people that were sent? And we mentioned it earlier. They stoned them. They slew them. They saw them asunder. This is what happened to the preachers and the prophets and the priests that were godly men sent to Israel. But God, in his wisdom, as a hen gathered her chickens. Brother Chris, come up here. I think I know you well enough to do this to you tonight. Now stand right here. Now, how does a hen do that? And make the noise. That's it. I had to come a bit louder. That's it. Thank you. Thanks. Brother, still? Say? More support, did he say? he's quick. But you've seen a hen do that, haven't you? Raised on the farm. And I'd sit there looking as a kid, you know, a hawk comes up, a crow comes over, a dog approaches or something, a cat, you know, bark, you know. And they'd all run under the wings and they'd all tuck in there, all 12 or 14 of them, will get under that chook. Folks, and it was mentioned this morning by your pastor, in Ruth 2:12, the Lord recompense thy work, a full reward be given thee by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Yes, salvation, under his wings. We sing that song, don't we? The protection through salvation, the protection, God beckons us to come for shelter in Psalm 36 and verse 6. Flee from the wrath to come, that's another verse. of security and of safety. I won't look all the verses up in Psalms, but under his wings. Look up that word wings and go home and say, under his wings I have come to trust. Under his wings I have shelter, I have security, and I have safety. Way back in the Ash Wednesday bushfires, I'd moved to Albury about 4 years before that, but it happened where I used to live. It burnt the farm. My brothers were there with the D7, a Caterpillar bulldozer, and surrounded the bushfire. Well, there was no wind blowing. They just surrounded it, and then the wind hit. The north wind down there, I don't know if you know, up in the Dandenongs, it's ferocious. It seems to come up from the central of Australia and just roar through. And it started, and it just burned everything. Hundreds of houses, people dead in culverts trying to hide from the fire. My brother saw a fellow driving down right into the flames and burst. He couldn't do anything. He was on a D7. He just had to back up through the fire. It was terrible time. And over at Mount Macedon, the fire was raging there. Fires were raging there too. Down at Lawn, they were raging. But at Mount Macedon, after the fire, there was a fireman walking through a farmyard. He was running across, and here's a chook, roast chicken, dead, burnt. And he just kicked the thing. And you know what came out from underneath it? All the little chickens. All the little chickens, saved from the wrath of the fire by the concerned mum. You know, God has taken our wrath for us on himself in Jesus Christ. He has borne the wrath of God for all our sins. Have you come under the safety of his wings? Because if you don't, or I don't, come under the safety of his wings, we bear the judgment of God on our sins. Ourselves. We're burnt forever and ever. It is horrific to think of it. Flee from the wrath to come. God has great wisdom in saying, as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings, come to me. What willfulness is then seen in the next part of the verse? And ye would not. What willfulness? And ye would not. This tells me about a free will to choose, doesn't it? Ye would not. How many do the same thing today? They will not believe. They will not receive. Or they'll pretend to be a Christian while they're at home with mum and dad. When they get out on their own, they'll go and do their own thing. And they would not. They will not believe. We were in Israel, and the Orthodox people over there were up in the northern part and walking around through the gardens there where the Jordan River just bubbles straight out of the ground, just bubbles out of the ground everywhere. Then the river starts and rushes off down there. And there was an Orthodox Jewish people, and they were coming toward us. And Andrew's with us. And he walks right up in their pathway and hands them a tract. And they see Jesus on it. And they can go from a smiling individual to a raging individual. Instantly, they see Jesus, the name Jesus. They get so angry. And walking around that path three times, I don't know if that guy's going to get saved, but three times he's coming toward us, and oh no, Andrew, stop. And then Andrew goes up to the sun there, and Andrew's saying, Elohim, Elohim. And the little fellow's, Elohim. And he's thinking, I can see him thinking. I didn't know their language, but I knew Elohim. It's the plural for God. And they say, one God. And this little fellow's thinking, a few gods. Not a few gods, but Andrew was emphasizing the Trinity, you see. Jesus. Anyway, when we went out of the car park, they went out in the car park at the same time, and the fellow was looking at us all the way. I don't know if he wrote a registration number down, but he was angry. They will not believe. You know what's going to crack the old hard nut? I say the macadamia nut, that's Israel. The hammer's got to come down so heavy on them that two-thirds of them are going to be killed to turn them to the Lord. And when that happens, the world will be looking on, and the world will hear, the kings will hear how hard it is to witness today. In that day, people will have ears open because things will be happening that aren't happening today. But what willfulness? They obey not the gospel. What about today? Don't we have whole generations of people? Like I said before, where are all the people who have no, I will not believe? And I could give you example after example within the church at Lavington of young people who said no. What does it say in 1 and 2 Thessalonians chapter 1? They obey not the gospel. Obey. They will not obey the gospel. I would not like to be in somebody's shoes who has been raised in a Christian home and then say, I will not. Praise God for those that are not raised in Christian homes and they say, I will believe. What a blessing. They sin willfully after they have received the knowledge of the truth, Hebrews tells us. They refuse to hearken. Zechariah, they pulled away the shoulder in Zechariah chapter 7 and verses 11 and 12. But they refused to hearken. They pulled away the shoulder and stopped their ears that they could not hear. And they made their hearts as an adamant stone, lest they should hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts has sent by his Spirit, by the former prophets. Therefore came a great wrath from the Lord of hosts. They pulled away the shoulder, they stopped their ears. Does that sound like the Jews in Jesus' day? Does it sound like the Jews in the early church period? What did they do with Stephen? Yeah. They stopped their ears, and they gnashed on him with their teeth, and they took up the rocks, and they stoned him. This is going live? No. Okay. I have to be careful, because if it goes over to Israel, for Andrew, but Andrew and his boys are going out, they're printing, they've got tracks. They're going out to the Orthodox areas. You don't go into an Orthodox area if you're not an Orthodox person. They're in their groups, like in Australia, you've got, you know, different groups. And he goes in there at 1 o'clock in the morning with his boys for a maximum time of half an hour, because somebody might see them. And they zoom out back home again to put tracks in the letterboxes, to put Isaiah 53. That's the wonderful chapter for the Jewish people to see. You know, when they do their readings in Israel, they'll stop at chapter 52, and then when they start again, they'll start with chapter 54. They will not read chapter 53. They know what it's speaking about. It's like Paul kicking against the goads. You know? And when the Lord shone that light on, he said, Lord, he knew who the Lord was. The Lord said, why persecutest thou me? And Paul got saved like that. And I think the Jews are in that position today. They've been given the word of God. This is how angry they get. 20% of the parliament of Israel are Orthodox people. When Andrew picks on the, he goes for the throat first. I think he's like a fox terrier. he looked up all the rabbis in Israel, and he sent them Matthew's Gospel, Isaiah 53, and sent it to every rabbi in Israel, and they got mad. Of course, you know, Andrew's mum rung me up down in Armidale here, said, can't you do something? I said, you're his mum. You do something to her. Hold him back. And they got so angry that in the parliament in Israel, they got the book that Andrew sent out, a little blue book we called it, with this in, and the fella got up, how can this be allowed in our country? We are Jewish people, you know, we have our religion, we don't want this stuff distributed. And he tore the book up in the Israeli parliament. And the Attorney General of Israel said, we are religiously free. He's allowed to do it. And that's just like adding fuel to Andrew's fire. He said, I'm legally allowed to do it. So what does he do next? He looks up all the politicians from present and past 10 years and sends them all the information. And then what does he do next? He looks up all the headmasters and the principals of all the schools in Israel. This takes a lot of time. And he sends them all the information. God is getting the message to the leadership of Israel. Now, Andrew rings up and he's scared sometimes. but he's doing what God, I think, has gifted him to do. I said to him, and if Andrew hears this, I don't care. I've said it before, he's heard me. I said to Andrew, in his last in Albury, I said, if you stay in our church, you'll empty it. Said, you need to go back to Israel. Because we had a 21st there, and a lot of my relatives were there. And he didn't know him. He just saw people. And so he goes up and fronts me, brother, oh no. Are you saved? How do you know if you're going to heaven? And my brother-in-law and my sisters and all the other relatives. And they say, what is this fella? I said, he's zealous. He's a zealous Jewish individual. He's an Aussie Jew. That's what he is. And so praise the Lord. Oh, Jerusalem, let's get off that. What willfulness. And ye would not. And they still won't. What woe. Behold, your house is left to you. What's the next phrase? Desolate. Verse 38. And that is so true. It was left to them desolate. The story of Matthew 7 that we sing in Sunday school. The wise man built his house upon the rock. The foolish man built his house on the sand. What woe. Your house is left to you desolate. Folks, we are in a country where the gospel is allowed to be preached. And if we reject it and we go out into eternity, what woe. Your house is left to you desolate for all eternity. But for those who are Christians, we have a house in heaven, a new home, a blessed home, a great hope. Their house is left to them desolate. For 2,000 years, the Jews have been made desolate. 2,500 since the Gentiles took over with Nebuchadnezzar. Don't let your house be left desolate in eternity. Build on the rock, the Lord Jesus. What waiting? You should not see me henceforth. In verse 39, you shall not see me henceforth. What waiting? They cried, his blood be upon us and our children, and it has been so. How patient and long-suffering is the Lord, how merciful and gracious he is. In Hosea 5:15, I believe we can apply that here. I will go, said the Lord, and return to my place till they, the Jews, acknowledge their offense, crucifying the Lord, and seek my face in their affliction. They will seek me early in the tribulation. God has waited for 2,000 years for their repentance, for their reception of him as their Messiah, the Lord Jesus, for their recognition, for their return, for their grafting in again, as Romans 11 tells us. God is able to graft them in. As hard-hearted as they are, God is able to save them. And he will do what he said he will do. In Isaiah, three times over, there, it's said that he will not entirely destroy them. I will not make a full end of Israel. You know, we have people who are pushing me to change the tone of my message. Stop talking about Israel. You know, I can't help it. One of my cousins went back to Prussia, where we're from, five generations ago. And he found yokels that were rabbis. And I thought, oh no. I might have a bit of blood in me that's Jewish. That's why I love Jerusalem. And I just, you know, what moves me in my heart is to hear about Jerusalem. The song I love the most is, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the holy city. I just melt every time I hear that one. And love to be there. One day, we'll be there one day. I saw what it looks like old. I want to see the new one. When we have it back in the millennium, and then the new Jerusalem coming. But what woe, what waiting all this time. God is patient. Folks, if you've got unsaved relatives, friends, family, just pray, as was mentioned today in the service this morning. Pastor Smith mentioned, you know, that do so much, but let the Lord do the rest. I've got a son that's pretty open too, and he said to Andrew when he was home, he said, you're not the Holy Spirit, you know. I thought, okay, They get pretty blunt at our church sometimes. You know, you don't do the work of the Holy Spirit. And you said it this morning, Pastor. You know, let God do the work. Let God do the work. And God is waiting, God is patient, and he will do his work. And last point there, we see in verse 39, what an awakening, what a warranty, what a watershed. Till ye say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Are the Jews going to turn around? Yep, they are. And maybe not in our generation. I said to Andrew before we went to Israel, I said, Andrew, you might not even see one soul saved in Israel. I'm not a pessimist, but they have been blinded by God because of the rejection of their Messiah. But just keep sowing the seed. Just keep sowing. Folks, in our country, just keep what? Sowing the seed. In your family, if you've got loved ones that are unsaved, children are unsaved, just keep sowing the seed. Just keep praying to the Lord. And who will give the increase? The Lord. The Lord will give, God will give the increase. For we read in the book of Romans, let's turn to Romans chapter 11. I've got to finish this. What was that long, long thing? A lot of the long, long snakes around here. Chapter 11. I praise God that this chapter's in the Bible. Verse 10 and 11. No. Verse 12, we'll start with. Now, if the fall of them, the Jews, be the riches of the world, we have received riches through Christ, through the fall of the rejection of the Messiah by the Jews, and the diminishing of them, the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? How much more their fullness? I speak to you, Gentiles, and I'd say we're almost all Gentiles here tonight. Inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. And if the casting, in verse 15, away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from their dead? Folks, I can say from scriptural authority that when Israel turns to the Lord, this world will have never seen the blessings that flow. When the Jews get saved, but it won't be in the church age. It won't be now. It'll be in the tribulation. And it could be just around the corner, couldn't it, Pastor? Just around the corner that this happens. When will the greatest revival in history ever happen? It's in the Bible. Yep. When the Jews get saved, it's in Revelation chapter 7. Where did this multitude come from? Who are they? They came out of great tribulation. Multitude without number. You know why? Because God will be working in a miraculous way, bringing judgments upon this world. So severe and so strong. No power, no gas, no water. Dams all burst. 2/3 of the population of the world gone by the middle of the tribulation. God will get people's attention and they'll be all ears. And the 144,000 Jews will be going around like Andrew. There's only be one in a town. But you know, if you work it out, even with a population of 7 billion people, that's one, I think, in 48,000 people. They'll door knock that every year, I'd say. For the first 3.5 years, they'll be knocking on the doors and they'll be preaching. And God will be protecting them. And the gospel will go out, the gospel of the Lord Jesus, to get saved by his blood, by them. That's why I'm excited about being involved in the ministry in Israel. And I pray that you pray for the missionary there and pray for the missionaries in New Guinea. What? You know, it seems like there you hand a tract and they grab it. Would to God they'd do that in Israel, in the Western world too. What an awakening. What an awakening when a person who is unsaved comes to the light of the glorious gospel. Transformed from darkness into light. From heading to hell to heading to heaven. Most of us have experienced that change that comes when Jesus comes into your heart. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. Let's pray for the world. Let's pray for the wicked cities of the world, but pray for the peace of Jerusalem, and that only come, that'll only come as we sat and watched a light show in Jerusalem, in the old city, and they had it on those big wall, white walls, and we sat there, and there's Jews everywhere, just all Jews, and we were sitting down the middle. We got rushed in last. We got in late, and they let us in. And here they had all the decimations of Jerusalem. The Jews had done it, and on the wall it was pictured. And the last one was where the Titus, the Roman, came down and took away the things from Israel. And they had the candlestick from the temple being carted by the Romans on their soldiers, and it was going across the wall. And, you know, you could feel the emotion in the building. And then they had the children dancing in the street, and they think now they've got to that point where the Bible says the children will dance in the street, and there's no more decimations. And I was sitting in the middle of them all, saying, no. I felt like jumping up and saying, no, there's one big one to come, where two-thirds of you are going to die. Wake up. But they can't see it. But God will open their eyes. God will do it in His time. Thank God for His word and the promises that are in there. And, you know, I get accused of preaching about Israel, but, oh, Jerusalem, it's in the Bible. This is a Jewish book. There's probably only one Gentile that has God used to write the scripture. It's all Jewish. Should we be thankful for them? Of course. They scrutinized the word. They wrote it accurately. They recorded it and they kept it. Praise God for them. We owe a lot to them. The receiving of them shall be life from the dead. Thank you, brother.